Jeremiah chapter 8. At that time, says Yahweh, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes and the prophets out of their graves, and they shall spread them before the sun, the moon, and all the army of the sky which they have loved and which they have served, as they were worshipping the idols, and they shall be for dung on the surface of the earth. Death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue that remain of this evil family. So all their idol worship was not going to save them. They were going to die, and their bones would be scattered in the open air. They wouldn't have a decent funeral, decent burial. And you shall tell them, shall men fall and not rise up again? Shall one turn the wrong way and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem sliding back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to their deceit. They refuse to return. I mean, God was giving them every opportunity to repent. The Babylonians were virtually at the gates, but they still would not repent. And God is almost surprised. Why won't they? I listened and heard, but they didn't speak aright. Like God was listening carefully, any sign of repentance? But no man repents of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Each one turns to his course as a horse that rushes headlong in the battle. Yes, the stork in the sky knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people don't know Yahweh's law. And yet, they still kept the sacrifices, and they loved the temple. They were very fond of their temple. And they, on one hand, knew God's law, but on another, they didn't. So it's a bit like Solomon. On one hand, he knew, but then he didn't do it. And this is what is really relevant to us, that we know what God wants. We know God's word, but to actually make it personal, that this will be true for little me. How do you say we are wise and the law of Yahweh is with us? So he says, you don't know my law. And then he says, yeah, but you're saying very proudly, we have got the law of God. The wise men are disappointed. They are dismayed and taken. They have rejected the word of Yahweh. What kind of wisdom is in them? So they rejected God's law, and yet they proudly said, we are wise, and the law of Yahweh is with us. So you can know these things, but actually reject them. Therefore will I give their wives to others, and their fields to those who shall possess them. For each one, from the least to the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet to the priest, each one deals falsely. Well, of all the things you could criticize them for, God particularly noticed attitudes of the heart, that they were covetous, that they wanted what was not theirs, and they were dishonest, and that they spoke lies in his name. They have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Paul says that in the last days men will say peace and safety, and then sudden destruction will come. And that seems to be the world in which we live, where people say, no, I'm fine, I'm good with God, don't dare criticize me, don't dare imply I need to get on my knees and repent of my sins. They say, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among those who fall. So, even more than hating the sin which they did, God was upset that they were not ashamed and that they denied they'd done anything wrong and they thought they were right with God. That is what is a great theme of these prophecies, that they were not only sinning, but even more so, refusing to accept what they did was wrong. If somebody is caught up in bad behavior and they hate what they're doing, but they continue to do it, well, that's a little bit like all of us because we all tend to keep sinning. But we've got to recognize that it is wrong, and it is that attitude that is so important to God. But they didn't have it. I will therefore utterly consume them, says Yahweh. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter into the fortified cities, and let us be silent there. For Yahweh our God has put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against Yahweh. I think this is Jeremiah trying to encourage them. Don't just sit still, come on, let's repent. We looked for peace, but no good came. for a time of healing, and behold, dismay. The snorting of his horses is heard from Dan. I think he's saying that in the north of Israel, already the horses of the Babylonians are there. The whole land trembles. They have come, the Babylonians, and have devoured the land. For behold, I will send serpents and adders among you, which will not be charmed, and they will bite you, says Yahweh. Then Jeremiah says, oh, that I could comfort myself against sorrow. My heart is faint within me. The voice of the cry of the daughter of my people from a land that is very far off. Isn't Yahweh in Zion? Isn't her king in her? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I mourn, dismay has taken hold on me. So I think that Jeremiah had a heart that really bled for people. He wasn't shrugging as we might have done and said, look guys, you've got the chance to avoid this and you don't want it. Well, you're stupid. He really mourns for them. He really feels for them. Even though he had not sinned as they had done, he says, for the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt and I mourn. So he really felt for them. And this is how we should be. We preach the gospel and apparently very few people listen, but we should be hurt by that. We should mourn for them. We should have a heart that bleeds, that really wants to see people saved, and that is terribly hurt by the thought that all these people are going to go and die forever.